Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Okay, Anthony, so I am going to make a guess that, like most people, your photo albums are probably full of delightful pictures of major events in your life. Birthdays, vacations, things like that.
Absolutely. Think of birthdays, vacations, and lots of pictures of my dogs for some reason over the year. I don't know why they have such a prominent place in my photo albums, which, by the way, are all online.
Yeah, right? Exactly. Good dogs are worth a million pictures.
Absolutely.
And as you mentioned, since we are living in the digital age, it's so easy to take pictures. I've got thousands just like that. But what I actually don't have are many pictures of the quieter and less remarkable, say, downright ordinary moments in my life.
So why would you if these moments are just ordinary?
Okay, well, at first, that's exactly what I thought. But then, not so long ago, we ran into Ting Zhang. She's at the Harvard Business School. And when we talked to her, she made a pretty provocative case that everyone ought to pay much more attention to the ordinary moments in our lives because they might be more important than the extraordinary moments.
Okay, for example.
Okay, well, here's one example that she gave us. A couple of years ago, Ting was looking at an old family photo album, and she saw one particular photograph that really surprised her.
So we had moved to a new house a couple of years back, but the photos were of us in our old home, and so it was Mom cooking in the old kitchen, and my brother, he was doing homework on the kitchen counter, and it was just a flashback to a time that we had completely forgot about. Little things like, oh yeah, we didn't used to have the stove in the island. It was off to the side. And oh yeah, we had that pot and we made really good soup in it. And these are all things that we really didn't think about at the time.
I mean, let's be honest, kitchens, soups, pots, doing homework, no one pays attention to moments like those when they're happening. So I asked Ting what was so remarkable about that picture.
It was real. It was authentic. So the photos of the extraordinary moments, they're very posed. They're photos that you would see at a portrait studio. But the photos of the ordinary moments just captured how we were. And that's what made them interesting.
Interesting and important, except that we don't know they're important at the time. So, Anthony, I bet by this point in time you're wondering, why does any of this matter?
No, but I'm with
right?
you. I'm following. Go ahead.
Well, psychologists have already observed that human beings are just really bad at knowing how much something will be worth to them in the future. We tend to overvalue the wrong things, and that can have consequences for our future happiness. And as we said, Ting's a researcher at Harvard Business School, so she told us that she decided to investigate just how much we undervalue the ordinary stuff in our lives.
We essentially had participants create digital time capsules. In one time capsule, we had participants write about a recent conversation that they had with someone, a social event that they went to. These were college students, so we had them write about class assignment that they did. And then we had them predict, essentially. So we asked them, how interesting will it be to yourself to see what you put into your time capsule on a 1 to 7 scale, 1 being not at all interesting and 7 being extremely interesting.
And so what did people say?
And so most people rated about 3.5, not particularly interesting.
Average. Okay.
And then we actually followed up with these individuals. So 3 months later, 7 months later, depending on the study, we actually had them rediscover what they actually put into their time capsules. And we found that individuals systematically underestimated how interesting rediscovering what they put into their time capsules was. And it's particularly the ordinary moments that they captured.
So did people tell you why they found looking back on these ordinary moments so interesting?
A lot of them were shocked by how much they had forgotten. And that's exactly the mechanisms through which we hypothesized that we would find this effect, is that in the moment, these experiences seem so salient to us, we think we're going to remember them. But in fact, we actually do forget about them.
But you'd think that we wouldn't really care about forgetting the ordinary moments in our lives.
But the thing is, time changes, right? We move, we make new friends, and these ordinary experiences are imbued with more meaning as time passes.
That old kitchen of yours, right?
Yeah. Now there's a feeling that's a lot more meaningful. You know, the little pot didn't seem that meaningful, but now it is because it's imbued with meaning. Oh, yeah, my mom used to cook soup in that every day. And now that I'm not living at home, this actually is an item that's quite meaningful.
And what's interesting to me about this is that when you think about it, the extraordinary moments are just that. They are extraordinary.
That's right.
Whereas the vast majority of our lives, by far, are spent doing
by
the
definition.
Ordinary.
Yep. That's right.
So if we really want to look back and get sort of an accurate assessment or a appropriate feel for how we have developed in our own lives, it's the ordinary we ought to be looking at.
Absolutely. That's right.
So let me ask you, it seems that upon hearing this, we're in a day and age that may be perfectly suited to documenting the ordinary because of things like social media, right? Where people are just putting out vast quantities of information about how they spend their lives on an ordinary day-to-day basis. I mean, there are people out there who might say, I don't necessarily want to know what you had for breakfast every day on Facebook, Meghna. But I mean, is that the kind of documentation you're talking about that helps us more accurately assess in the future?
So in our studies, we had people actually write in detail about their experiences. So it's not that just the experiences happened, but we had them, you know, even in a short paragraph, write about their thoughts and feelings at the time. And we're living in a digital age, so now people are taking photos of what they're having for breakfast. So it isn't clear whether looking at a photo of a salad that we're eating for lunch actually does connect us to a deeper conversation that we had while we were eating that salad, right? The social media scene that's now taking place, a lot of this is very public. In our studies, people found a lot of value in rediscovering these moments in private, but we don't know much about what the implications are when we share those experiences with others.
Yeah. So this seems to be a call for good old-fashioned journaling in a way.
That's right. Some of the people on our team actually bought these 5-year diaries. And so the way that the diary works is that there are 365 pages. On every new day, you write on a new page. And once you're done with the full year, you go back to where you started. So now as you're writing this new diary entry, you get to see what you wrote in the past.
Do you have a sense, or did your research look at whether or not looking back at ordinary moments in the past actually had, you know, an effect on your research subjects? Did it make them happier? Did it make them more contemplative about where they had gone in their lives in the intervening 6 months or so?
Sure. We actually had a lot of participants write to us and say, my gosh, this was such a meaningful experience. I had completely forgotten about this interaction that I had with my daughter. And at the time, it didn't seem very special. But now, looking back, I'm so glad that I was able to capture that moment. So we've had a lot of people actually write to us, and now we're starting a set of projects looking at how does the process of rediscovery actually impact our well-being, and how does it impact how we think about our work? So some preliminary data suggests that we find our work to be a lot more meaningful if we can go back and think more about the ordinary experiences that we've had.
Aha. So, because that's what I wanted to ask you about. This study is coming out of Harvard Business School,
sure,
where you are, and you're focusing on organizational behavior.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, what lessons should organizations take from what you found about the value of observing the ordinary?
So this is part of a larger research program looking at how the learning process seems quite ordinary, but in fact, we show that if you document these ordinary experiences and later rediscover them, that you could actually explain concepts better. So there are some preliminary data to suggest that experts have this curse of knowledge, so they kind of have forgotten what it was like to just start learning. If you can, at the beginning of the learning process, actually document what you were thinking and experiencing in that moment, that could actually make you better at explaining what you do.
Interesting. And I mean, maybe this is a bit of a reach, but organizations, the people who work in them are something like family. So maybe there's some value in sort of remembering the ordinary moments between coworkers to help with that learning process, as you were talking about.
Sure. We don't have any data on it, but it certainly I've had experiences where in a team we go back and we revisit the past, and it does create a bond.
Well, consider that an idea for a future research project for you.
Duly noted. Thank you.
Well, Ting Zhang is a doctoral student in the Organizational Behavior Program at Harvard Business School. She was also lead researcher for a study recently published in Psychological Science called A Present for the Future, The Unexpected Value of Rediscovery. Ting, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a real pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you for having me.
And I'll remember this in the future, even though it was rather extraordinary.
We hope our shows are always memorable. That's it for today. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.